And welcome to the very first episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm Ryan Burns from GopherDigest.com.
Hey, Ryan. So this is kind of exciting. We get to start a little football podcast. We'll talk, obviously, all things Gopher football. You are kind of the foremost expert in that area. So for this episode, let's focus on primarily the offense, since we have quite a bit of offseason yet to get through before we actually get to games. So let's focus on that offense. So obviously last year in 2014, the Gophers were a little bit better on offense, and there was no hiding that they were trying to run the football. And obviously the guy they were trying to get the football to is David Cobb, and he's now with the Tennessee Titans. So that's a big role to fill. You know, where do you see that being filled this coming season?
Yeah, obviously David Cobb played a huge role in Minnesota's success last year. Rushed for over 1,600 yards, 125 yards a game. And it's not going to be easy to replace him, but I don't think the Gopher staff is necessarily counting on one guy to do so. I think they're counting on four different guys. So the guy that leads the top of the list and is probably going to start for the TCU game is Roger Williams.
Sure.
He's going to be heading into his senior season here. He's played all three of his 3 years, so he never redshirted. And I think there's still this statistic out there that Roderick's never had a negative net loss. So that means he's never had a rushing attempt, and he's gotten stopped behind the line, which is incredible, especially in this day and age in college football. You know, Roderick's going to be a guy that on third and two, the staff's going to come in and count on to get those 3 yards. And I think he'll probably be the starter to start the season, probably get 10 to 15 carries. But I know he dropped 20 pounds in the offseason, and he gained a little bit more burst and a little bit more speed. But I think to start the year, you're going to see a lot of Roderick. But the guy I'm counting on to take over more and more responsibility as the season goes on is Rodney Smith. Gopher fans will remember he's a redshirt freshman this upcoming season. Rodney led the state of Georgia in rushing in 2014 during his senior season. He wasn't necessarily very highly recruited because he was coming off a significant knee injury his whole junior year, missed all of that. Teams didn't have any film on him. But from what I've heard and from what I've seen, I trust both of those things very much. I think he could be a very, very good impact player, potentially as early as this season. He worked his way up to second on the depth chart this past spring. He shows very good vision, and he's very patient. He's very Cobb-like in that fashion, where if the hole's not there right away, he'll give it an extra half second for the hole to develop and have the linebackers wash over into holes they're not supposed to be because they get antsy. And Rodney can take advantage of that and burst through the hole and get those extra 2 or 3 yards that, you know, Cobb was very good at, where Cobb maybe stopped behind the line for, you know, it should be a 1 or 2 yard loss, and he gets 2 or 3 positive yards out of it. And that's huge, especially in this offense that runs so much. So I think that Rodney, down the line, by the time his career is done here at Minnesota, I think he can be better than David Cobb. And that is saying a lot for a guy who just went to the NFL.
Definitely.
But from what I've heard and from what I've seen of him in person, I think he can be very special. Two more guys that are worth mentioning to try and replace Cobb this season, though, are Berkley Edwards and Jeff Jones. So Berkley, it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of role he has. He was battling some hamstring issues this past spring, so you didn't really get to see a ton of him. But, you know, there were glimpses last year, especially in the Eastern Illinois game, where he rushed for 2 touchdowns there and showed some burst off the left edge for some longer touchdown runs that, you know, he's capable of being, you know, not necessarily an every down back so far, but he needs to get 5 to 10 touches a game just because of how, you know, he's got the breakaway speed. And that's something that is really lacking, is big playability in this Minnesota offense last season. So I think he's going to probably be, you know, 5 to 10 snaps. And on those snaps, I think he's going to be a definite threat. So maybe 3 to 4 touches a game. But his speed is something that this offense needs for its playability. And then the huge wild card in all of this is Jeff Jones. Gopher fans remember he's the Minneapolis, you know, 4-star recruit, stay at home over Michigan and Florida. And you know, this past spring he played a lot more receiver than he did running back, and that's probably because it, you know, receiver is such a position of need. So I don't think Jeff plays a whole lot of running back. But I think there's going to be a few instances where he's at wide receiver and he gets shifted into, you know, shotgun formation with Leidner and Rodney Smith, and they can go from there. It's a definite, you know, you've got to keep defenses on their toes. But eventually, as the season wears on, I think you're going to see a more of a two-headed attack with Roderick and Rodney, with only, you know, a little bit of gimmicky stuff with Berkeley and Jeff Jones. But I'd put my chips in on Rodney and Roderick Smith, or Roderick Smith, Roderick Williams at this point.
Sure. Okay. So obviously it sounds like they're going to go with probably more of a running back by committee. You know, they've got some depth, which they had that depth last year. Obviously we did see a lot of running for Mitch Leidner last year, him being probably the secondary runner. You know, he actually averaged somewhere around like 37 yards a game. You know, if you put sacks aside, he gained 600 plus yards. So obviously he was pretty effective running the ball. Do you see him still running the ball and them still taking advantage of that option football, read option stuff?
Yeah. I know there was a definite little bit of a switch in philosophy this past spring. They were trying to go more up tempo, trying to spread things out a little bit more with the personnel they have with the departures of Max and David. But I think Leidner's still going to be probably pretty dependable to be the second leading rusher in the team, no matter how things shake out with the running back by committee. I mean, you saw last year that I think Minnesota, you know, rushed for close to 2,500, 3,000 yards or so. And I think David Cobb accounted just about half of it, and Leidner had about a quarter of it. Where I think in this 2015 season, I think with the running back by committee, you're probably going to see, you know, a guy like either Rodney or Roderick be the leading rusher, but I think Leidner's going to be a close second. Minnesota's going to still be doing the read option, and Leidner is, you know, pretty elusive for a guy of his size and has a little bit of deceptive speed. Mm-hmm. You know, linebackers, you know, he gets some, you know, missed tackles and whatnot on him. So whereas I think Minnesota's probably going to – you're going to see the percentage of run to pass go up in the pass category as this offense tries to transition to more of a passing offense. Mm-hmm. But running the ball is still going to be the bread and butter. And that being said, read option is still going to be a huge part of this game. And I think Leidner's still going to be pretty dependable to be the second-leading rusher.
So I'm interested. I know that they did make a focus on trying to pick up the tempo in spring. You know, maybe part of that is – because they want to just get more plays in the allotted amount of time they have to practice. But do you think that will be an emphasis going into the season? Are they going to stick pretty much to their guns and, you know, huddle up, take as much of the play clock as possible? Or are they going to try to, you know, pick up the tempo a little bit?
You know, from what I've heard, it's going to be game plan dependent.
Sure.
And what I mean by that is, you know, some games you're going to see the entire game where Minnesota's going to get the, you know, get the ball, take their time, snap it with 2 or 3 seconds left as they're trying to drain the clock, get, you know, give the defense a little bit of time off. But, you know, where this can become very advantageous for Minnesota is they didn't have this, you know, package in the playbook at all. So if Lime Grover's up in the press box or up on the third level there and he's looking down and he sees matchups he likes, he can, you know, signal it down to the coach in the field, hey, let's go up-tempo. We have matchups we like. Maybe it's KJ May or Jeff Jones on a linebacker, and they think they can get him in space, and Leidner can hit him across the middle. And, you know, it's going to be very just game plan dependent, where if the Gopher coaches see matchups in the field, they can signal it down and, you know, take advantage of those things and not have to, because obviously if you go up tempo, the defense can't sub. So that's where things could be very advantageous. But I mean, some games you probably will see Minnesota go a lot more up tempo than not, just to, you know, keep the defense on their heels and put some things on tape that upcoming schools have to worry about. But I know Northwestern's coach was always talking about how Minnesota likes to, you know, drain the clock, and I don't think that's going to be too much of a change for this season. But just to have the option of going up-tempo and, you know, having it on film is just going to be very advantageous in the long run for the Gophers.
Sure. Obviously, you talked, too, about the focus on trying to improve the passing game. That was a focus of the offseason, and that's just really a focus that they need, period, right? They didn't throw the ball particularly consistently in 2014, whether that be because of Leidner, or I don't like to place a lot of blame on Leidner for that, given that I didn't think he had a lot of open receivers. Even when he didn't hit a lot of them. So it was more of kind of a consistency of the whole group, right, whether that be offensive line, receiving core, or quarterback. Obviously, it's the hot-button topic. That's what everybody wants to talk about, is Leidner and throwing the ball. But let's focus on, one, what's lost. Obviously, Max Williams, basically the primary receiver, accounted for the majority of catches and the majority of yards, is gone. So let's talk a little bit first about tight end and who's going to be replacing him.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll come back to the lineman topic. But again, I think it's just like at running back, I think it's going to be a tight end by committee. Obviously, Minnesota has really never had a tight end like Max, and I don't know if they will again.
Yeah.
He was so athletic. He was just perfect for this offense when, Mitch tried to find him on third down and get plenty of key conversions. But I think, again, there's going to be four or five guys that the staff's expecting to come in and really try to replace Max's shoes, because not one is, fully capable of doing so. But we'll start with senior Lincoln Plezic. I know Coach Kill said last week on the show with Sin Dave that, he's probably the forgotten guy. He's, played all three of his years heading into his senior season here, and he's, the primary blocking tight end in Minnesota's two tight end packages, and he's a guy that is going to probably get, 6 to 8 yards. He has capable hands, but just don't expect anything after the catch. But he's so essential. He's a guy like Drew Goodyear, who, Gopher fans never really probably gave his due for all the times that he was in the two tight end packages. Max, he's a blocking tight end, and this run first offense is so essential that he's setting the edge and keeping control of the different zone schemes that this Gopher offense likes to run. And Lincoln's been huge in that during his career. So I'm very interested to see how things progress in his senior season. If you're looking for a playmaking tight end that I think could, somewhat replace Max, that's probably going to have to go to sophomore Duke Onyeanwu. Gopher fans will remember that he tore his ACL in fall camp last year. And I know that the staff had very high expectations for both him and Max to try to use their playmaking abilities downfield. Onyeanwu was at full, he was practicing at full during the spring, but sources have told me that he was probably only at about 70% strength-wise where he wanted to be. And so another offseason with Coach Klein and just building that strength back up, trying to get as close to 100% as Duke can heading in the fall is huge. He's probably one of the faster guys on the team, and he's a threat that this tight end group is going to need, especially with the departure of Max. A couple of other guys I think that are worthy of keeping an eye on are Jerry Gibson and Brandon Lingen. Jerry is going to be a redshirt freshman, and Coach Kill talked about last weekend how Jerry's up to 240, 245 pounds, which is a significant increase from what he came in at around 220. Gibson's going to be kind of the wild card in this Gopher offense, because I think he's going to play some H-back, some tight end. But in the spring, the staff actually kind of tried to hide Gibson and not really use him a whole lot. Is I think they have a little, kind of a special plan on how they want to use him, as he's such a difference maker and matchup problem, especially for a guy of his speed and elusiveness and at 240 pounds. So I think you're going to see him come out of the backfield lined up, against the linebacker. And if Gibson makes the guy miss, he's going to get an extra 15, 20 yards because of his speed and ability. So I'm very interested to see what Gibson can bring in 2015. I think you're going to see him more at the H-back role than tight end necessarily, but that's something to keep an eye on. With Brandon Lingen, he played as a true freshman last season. He battled some injury issues, which concerned me, because they came, they resurrected themselves this past spring as he unfortunately broke his collarbone. But I've heard from a couple different people close to people here at Bierman that Lingen actually might be the most talented overall, in this entire group. So it'll be interesting to see how many snaps he gets if he is fully recovered this fall. I think he's definitely going to be on the field, as he even came in to replace Max at times last year to give him a breather. So if Lingen can stay healthy, I think that he also can be challenging Duke for a guy that could be the playmaking tight end. And the last guy I'll talk about is the guy that's getting off the bus and all the Gopher fans are waiting to see, is Nate Wozniak.
Yeah.
He's the 6'10" tight end. He came in at about 240 and he looked extremely skinny. He's all the way up to 270, 275 pounds now, going to be his redshirt sophomore year. He still looks thin, but it's a good, strong, base thin where you don't look at him and say, wow, he needs to put on a lot more weight. His frame is conducive to where he's a guy like Theron Cochran, where you're always going to look at him and say, hey, man, he could put on 20 more pounds. I mean, it's just a little bit tougher with Wozniak. But, you know, Woz came in as a freshman in the last couple seasons, and his hands weren't always great, and he was a little bit stiff running his routes for a guy who's 6'10". But he's improved a lot in the last few, probably the last 12 months or so. And he's another guy where maybe Gopher fans will get their wish, and it'll be, you know, first a goal from the 8. Wozniak will come in, you know, run a 10-yard run, and it's 6'10" against 5'10", and line all he has to do is, you know, throw it up to Woz.
Yeah.
As that'd be every Gopher fan's dream, as I've heard about it.
Yeah, just so, a little box out at the goal line.
Yeah,
just get up and
yeah,
get,
no kidding.
Get the rebound. Yeah.
Exactly. So just like at running back, I expect tight end to be more of a by-committee approach between those five guys. And we'll see how things progress as the season goes on. I'm sure the five will be reduced to 3 or 4 as the season progresses and the staff figures out what they want to do. But I don't expect one single guy to try and replace what Max Williams did for the Gopher offense in 2014.
All right, let's talk a little bit about receivers. So at receiver, you know, there's not really a lot coming back. They graduate Isaac Fricke. You know, Donovan Jones is gone. But what they do have coming back is KJ May and Drew Olatarski. You know, it's obviously KJ May kind of stepped up towards the end of the season. Olatarski was never really terribly consistent, part of that being due to injury. But then you've got basically a host of freshmen, redshirt freshman receivers that Kill has been very high on. So let's just talk about the wide receiver position. You know, obviously it's going to be a little bit by committee because that position group is always basically by committee. But, you know, talk about guys who you look to contribute early, and maybe you can temper some of those expectations that Kill has put out for those freshman wide receivers.
Right, and I'd like to start this group by, you know, going back to what you talked about with Leidner. As this wide receiver group didn't give Mitch any help last year.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, if you go back and watch the games, if you have some on your DVR, I would encourage you to watch the wide receiver position especially. Gopher receivers last year had significant issues in getting separation and giving Mitch an actual target to throw to, where on most of the plays where you saw Mitch sit in the pocket way too long and take a bad sack and fumble, you know, look downfield. You know, he didn't have anybody to throw to, as they had really, really significant issues in getting open.
Yeah.
And for Leiter, a guy who wants to see that before he throws, as he necessarily didn't have a ton of trust in them, you know, these receivers have to get open for Mitch to improve on that 51%. Is he can't throw the ball and complete a pass if you're not open. But a guy who I'm expecting to actually probably replace Max a little bit in the capacity that he's going to be Leidner's go-to guy is KJ May. You saw KJ as the season went on last season, the light bulb really went on, and he really came on for this Gopher team down the stretch. And, you know, that continued into the spring. And I've heard from multiple people here that KJ is probably the most complete receiver on the team now, and that, you know, we should expecting big things out of KJ come 2015. He's going to be a senior finally. He's finally getting into the whole receiver role, as, you know, Gopher fans will remember. He was only played in high school quarterback since he was the best athlete on his team. So he's finally getting into his third or fourth season here at receiver after coming in, and the staff didn't necessarily. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember him playing some running back his freshman year, right, at UNLV. He kind of seems to be a guy that is almost too athletic, and it's hard to find a position for him.
Yeah, and that was the issue, you know, early on, is the staff didn't necessarily know where he'd fit. You know, he played in that UNLV game. I'm pretty sure he played some running back, some slots, some outside.
Yep.
And so now that he's finally grabbed a hold of a role, he's really taken pride in it. You know, I've heard he's been one of the leaders on the team, especially this offseason. I would be very surprised if KJ wasn't the leading receiver this fall. He's just, you know, his route running has improved so much in the last 12 months that he's one of the guys I can look to on this Gopher team and say, I believe he actually can get separation across the middle or wherever he's lined up. So Leidner has a target to throw to that's actually open. So KJ is one of the guys who I'm expecting a lot from. Drew Olatarski is going to finally be a junior. It feels like he's been here a lot longer than he actually has to me, but he needs to stay healthy. Olatarski was healthy this past spring, And he was one of the only guys I saw all spring of these receivers that could consistently get open against Eric Murray, which is not a very easy thing to do, especially in press man coverage. Walt Tarsi is very physical in the sense that he knows how to run the right routes, and that's what the staff was expecting when they brought him in. He's a guy that's not afraid to go across the middle and take a hit and know it's there and not be squeamish and, short arm the ball and miss it because he's thinking the safety is going to be head hunting over the top. But, he's one of the guys that he's slated to start right now. Maybe it's by default. Maybe it's because he is one of the better receivers on this team. I think both could be applicable, but he needs to stay healthy, especially considering the significant lack of depth behind them because of these redshirt freshman receivers. Minnesota hasn't been, blessed with a lot of luck at the receiver position.
Definitely.
Obviously, with Jamel Harbison transferring back to a D2 school in North Carolina, where he actually played running back for last season.
Huh.
Pretty sure he rushed for over 1,000 yards there, too. Random fact there.
Right.
Whatever happened with Andre McDonald, and, they haven't had a ton of luck. But I think that luck is going to start to, change here. And I think after seeing these redshirt freshman receivers this past spring, you have to have tempered expectations for them, as all the ability in the world is there for these guys. But again, you have to remember they've never played in a Division I game, and they have a lot of learning too. But the physical ability is just unbelievable. The guy I'll start with of the four is my favorite, and the guy I've probably been hyping up the most, and that's Desmond Gant.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond signed way after signing day. I believe he signed in like April or May, as he had some issues academically that he needed to clean up. And credit to him, he did the work and he did everything he needed to do. But Desmond is one of the freakiest, if not the freakiest, athletes on the team. He's 6'3", 220. He has a 40-inch vertical, and he's the second fastest. And one of the recent speed sessions that was posted on the internet there, Desmond was second fastest guy on the team behind Jalen Myrick, and that is absolutely crazy for a guy 6'3", 220.
Right.
The reports I was hearing in the offseason when he was a redshirt was that he was the guy on the scout team giving all these corners fists because he's so physical in nature and he has the long strides that – if the ball was placed, from Jock Pera, who is the scout team quarterback, in the right spot, none of these corners had a chance. Because he'd go up over him and, hit the ball. He was very good at pinpointing. And where it's going to be interesting to see is I think he's going to be counted upon, this fall. But Gopher fans remember in the spring game, he got open on a long ball. It hit him in the hand and, he dropped it. So he's very raw still, but I think, this year may not necessarily be his coming out party. But I think in 2 years, maybe next year, but I don't want to place all that pressure on, but I think in 2 years, Desmond Gant could be this guy that Gopher fans are like, we haven't had this kind of receiver in here in a long time.
Right.
So that may be bestowing too much pressure on the young man, but I know that he has all the physical ability in the world and is working hard elsewhere. So He's one of my favorite guys to, keep an eye on this team going forward in the future. Again, I don't think the expectations for Gant should be extremely high this fall, but I think by the time he leaves here, it should be.
Sure.
Two other guys I'll talk about before Jeff Jones again are Isaiah Gentry and Melvin Holland. Gentry is a lot in the same mold of a Desmond Gant. He's a very big receiver. He's 6'4". I think he's around 210 now. His route tree isn't great yet. He's obviously still a redshirt freshman. And the only thing he was really asked to run, in high school was a vertical threat because he was one of the top sprinters in the state. He has very good speed. He's a long strider, but he's probably going to be the guy. If you were to say who's going to replace what Donovan Jones gave this team in 2014, I'd say it's Gentry. Donovan wasn't great at giving separation either. But, I think him and Gentry are similar in that fashion. Gentry's still learning how to get off coverage from this whole secondary, which, may not necessarily be too fair considering you have, three NFL guys, I think, and maybe a fourth Antonio Johnson. But, it's great practice to go against, so I give the kid credit.
Yeah.
But I think if you're going to see, play action for as much as this team likes to run, it's going to be open. It's going to be single high against the safety. And I think Gentry has the speed and ability to get open. And I think if Leidner can get it there, hit Gentry in stride, it's gone. I mean, you're not going to catch him.
Right.
I think as spring ball went on, Gentry was one of the guys that was really getting a lot of targets in when Minnesota did pass, whether it was from Leidner or whether it was from Chris Trevler. I think the staff made it known that, you know, Gentry's a guy that can get open and you should hit him. And, you know, to his credit, you know, he was catching most of those balls. So I think if, you know, something were to happen to one of the starting receivers in May or Wolitarski, I think Gentry was the guy that they would feel most comfortable putting in. So, you know, Gentry should keep progressing throughout his career. Again, he's only a redshirt freshman, and he's never played a Division I snap. But I think he's going to be the deep play threat. Melvin Holland is another redshirt freshman. It'll be interesting to see what his role is. He is probably the best route runner of this group.
Sure.
He's very technically sound, which is something that is huge to wide receivers coach Brian Anderson. He wants you to make sure you have clean, crisp routes. You're running the right routes. There's no miscommunication with Leidner on whatever the route is. He's very technically sound. His speed is pretty good. He's going to be a guy I'm expecting to see more at inside receiver than anything. Mm-hmm. But the huge question on him is his hand.
Yeah.
There were too many times I was at every spring practice this past year. There were too many times he dropped an easy ball. It just happened way too many times. And if he can just clean up like 75% of those, I don't think that's asking a ton.
Yeah.
He could be a significant contributor because his route running is very crisp, very clean. He can get off against a guy in the nickel corner. And I think, especially if it gives the staff the ability to move KJ out wide, you know, have him at X, have, you know, Wolitarski at Z and put a guy in the slot. I think that could be huge, especially with what KJ, you know, with the light bulb that just got on for KJ. So between those three and whatever you get out of Jeff Jones, it's going to be, again, Jeff Jones is probably one of the most intriguing things to watch on how the staff uses him. He started at running back this spring, and then he basically transitioned to full-time receiver towards the end. As Minnesota knows that they need playmakers in this passing game that can do things and break big plays. It's, again, big playability was a very touchy subject, and it didn't happen probably quite near enough in 2014, but
yeah.
For a guy who's played, you know, he played a little bit of, he played a little bit of receiver in high school, and I think that showed. He transitioned very well for a kid who was trying to play college receiver. His routes were very good. You know, frankly, he has some of the best hands on the team. He made a couple of catches where I was like, what, you have no business making that as a running back, but he's a very good athlete. His jump cuts are still things of highlight tape glory. But I think you're going to see from Jeff, you know, that Minnesota has the ability to where he can be like what Berkeley Edwards was supposed to be in 2014. And what I mean by that is you put him in the slot and you can get him in a jet sweep across. And where Berkeley at times would, you know, labor too much and be going east and west, Jeff's going to make one jump cut and go, you know, north and south, which is essentially what the staff wants. And that's why you saw a very good example of that would be KJ Mann in the Iowa game.
Yeah.
How many times did you see KJ come across and get a jet sweep? And, you know, I think he rushed for 40, 50 yards that game.
Yeah.
Just on jet sweeps.
Right. And it was like the same play every time, right?
It was. And that was something that the staff identified, you know, as, you know, a very good countermeasure to what I was trying to do. And it obviously was very successful as we kept, you know, the Gophers absolutely slobber knocked the heck out of Iowa.
Yeah.
So, whereas, you know, you can reduce the touches on KJ there in the jet sweep, I think, you know, Jeff Jones can be absolutely more deadly in that fashion. You know, Jeff doesn't have great speed, but he's very, very good in every other, you know, facet of, you know, the elusiveness and breaking tackle game. It's his jump cuts are elite. He can really plant a foot at full speed. He can plant a foot, stop on a dime and change direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's a guy, you know, behind, you know, Roderick and Rodney that needs to get 5 to 10 touches a game. just so you can see what he can do in space, because I can say it's pretty safe to say if one or two of those touches are going to be, you know, plus 20, plus 10. I mean, that's something that this offense needs. So,
yeah, they were really lacking the home run ability last year for sure.
Yeah, and especially with Donovan, you know, leaving because of some different reasons.
Yep.
You know, I think his impact was overstated. Mm-hmm. As I think between the freshman receivers, he can be replaced pretty fairly easy. But, again, it's going to come down to the success of this group to me is going to be defined by how well they can get separation from their defender. As for Mitch to, you know, Gopher fans want Mitch to take another step forward. Well, that's not all on him.
Right.
Especially if you're leaving Max, if you're losing Max Williams and you're losing Fricke, who's now with the Vikings, and Donovan and all, you know, and you're not, and he's losing David Cobb, who's, again, an NFL running back now.
Right.
He needs to have some of these freshman receivers step up and get separation for him, you know, to have a clean pocket to throw the ball to. Or else you're going to see Mitch probably, you know, holding the ball a little bit too long, which again is very worrisome to me, as most of the time where he held it too long, you know, he had a guy come around his back, strip the ball, and you know, that's a thing that Mitch has to improve on. But these receivers need to get open, so it's not Mitch sitting there for 3-4 seconds looking downfield, seeing nothing, and you know, taking off and running.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that they'll take a step forward, probably not as big of a step forward that, you know, I'd like to see and I'd like to report, but it's gonna come down to a bunch of guys making their freshman debuts, and how they react to it is ultimately going to come down to the success of Mitch Leidner.
Right. And one of the strengths of this team is obviously the offensive line, especially from a run blocking perspective. But when you talk about Mitch and you talk about his success, I mean, passing is really a whole team effort, right? It starts at the offensive line. It moves to the wide receivers to get open, and then you got to throw a good ball. But I wouldn't say that this offensive line was particularly great at giving Mitch a lot of time in instances last season. So obviously, you know, this is a group that has some experience coming back. Do you see this group being able to shore up some of those pass blocking deficiencies they had last season?
Yeah. They should take another step forward, especially with Ben Lauer, you know, who is a freshman All-American coming back, and Jonah Perzig taking another step forward. Mm-hmm. I saw that BTN, you know, recently ranked the offensive line as the top one in the Big Ten West.
Sure.
You know, while that's fine and dandy, you know, from what I've seen, you know, the last 12 months or so, I'm in more of a mode where it's don't tell me, show me.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think this, you know, offensive line is capable of that? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to accomplish it? Again, don't tell me, show me. I mean, they have all the talent and upperclassmen to do so. There's got to be so many. I wish I, you know, knew the stat of how many starts they have coming back. Is they have five. They're, you know, they're graduating five seniors, and they have, you know, a few more upperclassmen. So you have, you know, Ben Lauer, who's going to be a redshirt junior. You have Joe Bjorklund, who's going to be a redshirt senior. You have John Christensen, who's going to be a senior. Brian Bobeck, who I'm going to come back to, you know, probably the forgotten guy on this offensive line, will be a senior. You have Josh Campion, who's already started 39 games going into his senior season. And you have Jonah, who's going to be a redshirt junior. So you have a bunch of guys who are now, you know, 22, 23. You know, it's time to show up. It's time to show up each and every game, especially with the departure of Zach Epping, you know, who's probably the most physical guy on the offensive line. So do I think they're capable? Absolutely. What, you know, I need to see more from, especially, is probably the tackles. I mean, there were too many times where even, you know, Gopher fans were to see in, like, the Missouri game. And, you know, it may not necessarily be fair to say because, you know, Shane Ray was a first-round, you know, draft pick, and there are other, you know, defensive end, I think, went in the third or fourth round, but that they really had issues with speed rushers. And, you know, obviously that just has to do with them not getting their feet set, you know, quite, you know, fast enough. And, you know, they're hurrying back in their sets. And, you know, so Lauer and Perzig, you know, just need to keep working on, you know, the speed rushers, the guys who are technical that it's actually pretty well with, you know. But, you know, the goal of the whole offensive line is just to, you know, give Mitch 3 or 4 seconds, you know, anything more than that's gravy. So
right.
The spot that I'm actually very intrigued to see what happens with is the left guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is absolutely wide open. And I'm hoping it doesn't become what 2014 was, a right guard, where frankly it was pretty much a black hole. You know, Minnesota battled numerous injuries there. You had guys, I think you had 4 different guys play there, from Foster Bush to Connor Mays. You know, John Christensen got some snaps there towards the end. So it just was a revolving door of guys. And Joe Bjorklund also played there. So it shouldn't be what that was, where, you know, Limegrover had to keep rotating guys in as guys kept struggling. And I just think that left guard is just a huge spot, especially with Campion sliding in from right tackle. So Campion worked at exclusive right guard this past spring, giving, you know, Purdy right tackle. So at left guard, there's 2 guys I think that'll, you know, challenge for it. It's Joe Bjorklund and John Christensen. You know, Gopher fans will say, well, John Christensen, you know, he was a very good center for us until, you know, he broke his leg.
Yep.
Well, that's absolutely true. But I think that the guy that is going to surprise folks is Brian Bobek. Brian, I know for a fact from talking with different people here, is one of the strongest guys in the team, if not the strongest. He's finally close to 100% after battling a viral issue, I believe it was, that kept him out after his redshirt year from Ohio State. You know, he's close to being very healthy. He started at center for the entire spring, and he was a guy that I've heard impressed Limegrover in the fact that, you know, he didn't have extremely high expectations for him because of his past here, but he really, you know, made an impression on Limegrover. He's really working hard in the weight room. You know, he's probably going to be the smallest guy of the offensive line. He's only about 6'2", 6'3". But again, he's extremely strong, and I think he gives you the flexibility to be able to move John Christensen to left guard and have, you know, a dependable guy there, especially with, you know, replacing Cobb, that you can go Bauer, Christensen, Bobek, Campion, Herzig. You know, you have Foster Bush as your swing tackle, which for the NFL fans know that is an essential guy that, you know, is your 6th or 7th lineman.
Mm-hmm.
So if something were to happen, you have a redshirt senior guy who's more comfortable at tackle than guard from what I've heard. And that's essential. You have guys like Connor Mays, who played as a true freshman last year. He gives you flexibility on the interior. Joe Bjorklund, flexibility on the interior. And then, you know, 2 freshmen that I think could make the travel squad. And I, you know, frankly, after, you know, hearing and seeing some of their abilities, I'd have no problem with, would probably be Tyler Moore and Quinn Osland.
Sure.
Tyler Moore, it came in January, so he graduated high school early. He's part of the 2015 class. And he really was just a tone setter. If you want to see what Zach Epping, a little bit more athletic, a little bit taller, a little bit longer arms would look like, that's Tyler Moore. I mean, frankly, he was not afraid to mix it up with whoever it was, whether it was, you know, Kieran Cochran, Steve Richardson, Gary Moore. If he thought you were talking,
yeah,
and you shouldn't have been talking to one of his guys, he was not afraid to get in your face masking. You know, there were a couple of times where Kill had to separate, and, you know, that's what you want out of your offensive lineman. Like, you want a guy that's getting on the field, he plays with, you know, a little bit of attitude, a guy who's going to get in your face, a guy who's going to talk stuff to you the whole game, but he can back it up with his play.
Right.
Tyler already was working in at second team right guard. You know, whether that was because of his necessity of bodies or whether it was his play, regardless, I think that he's at least earned a very good look at travel squad.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who I have, you know, pretty high expectations for as well by the time he leaves here is Quinn Osland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Limegrover has said, you know, publicly to the media, when talking about his offensive line, that, you know, my backup left tackle might not even be on campus right now. And,
sure,
you know, you can speculate, but I'm fairly certain from talking to people on campus here that it's Quinn Osland. You know, from seeing him at a couple of camps, you know, he wasn't there obviously participating. He was just there helping out. But he's a 6'6", 300-pound guy that he moves very well for a guy of his size. He's very nimble. He's very strong. He plays with a bit of an edge as well. And you know, with all the seniors you have, and especially at the backup spots, like Foster can be your swing tackle and Joe Bjorklund can be your swing interior guy. And especially if Connor can give you anything at center, if something were to happen to Bobek, I think it would be huge if Limegrover was able to redshirt those two guys and Oslin and Moore, especially with, you know, graduating five guys and them being expected to be, you know, on the two deeps next fall. So,
right.
Whereas I think, you know, as I said, the Big Ten, you know, I think it's Tom Dinehart ranked. Minnesota is the top, you know, offensive line in the Big Ten West, even above Wisconsin.
Right.
Again, I think that they're capable, especially with all the experience and talent they have coming back. Now, again, it's don't tell me, show me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the squad I saw this, you know, this past spring, I wouldn't say they're the top. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, in Gopher fans, remember, it usually takes this offensive line a game or two or three to really start glueing
mm-hmm.
and really start getting together as, you know, any offensive line. But for the amount of guys they have coming back that have played together, you know, it shouldn't be too much of an issue. So, again, it's time to, you know, don't tell me, show me with this offensive line. I think they're capable, but I need to see it on the field first before I even start making those claims.
Right. So obviously, you know, there is a lot of seniority in the upperclassmen. There are a lot of seniors and juniors. So obviously there is a focus on trying to bring in and recruit freshman offensive linemen with this offensive line group. And they've done particularly well, as you've so nicely portrayed, you know, online for everybody. Can you talk, you know, just briefly about this class of offensive linemen coming in? And just, you know, maybe just talk a little bit about, you know, how they project and what they're going to be able to bring to the program.
Sure. Yeah. On Twitter yesterday, you know, I got in contact with each one of the four offensive line commits to, you know, see where they're at this summer, how things are going. And it just boggles my mind how advanced these guys are as teenagers. So Minnesota has four offensive line commits right now, and Sean Foster, he's a four-star tackle from Illinois, and then we have three in-state kids, and Matt Cagle, Connor Olson, and Sam Schluter. And between those four guys, they average out to 6'6", 290 pounds. That absolutely, it just boggles my mind as they're 16, 17-year-old kids right now.
Yeah, that's big.
And they're already that big.
Yeah.
It just, for a guy like myself who was 6'4", 240 pounds, and was the biggest guy, I had to start at tackle by necessity.
Yeah.
Because the next biggest guy on my high school team, which was even just 4 or 5 years ago, was about 6'2", 210.
Yeah.
It's absurd to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, the crown jewel probably of this class is Sean Foster. Again, he's a four-star, scout 300,
mm-hmm.
Offensive tackle from Illinois. It's interesting with his recruitment, as Sean's father was a very good offensive lineman in Iowa,
mm-hmm.
and Iowa never offered. And it's very interesting to see. You know, I haven't heard specifically why they didn't, but, you know, Sean had other big-time offers around the Big Ten and across the country, really, so. He's a kid who's 6'8". He played at 270 pounds his junior year, and he tells me that he's already up to 295 pounds. And I saw him live a couple weeks ago. He was at one of the Gopher camps watching, coming back from the Empire Weekend, where Carter Coughlin was nice enough to take basically every Minnesota commit up to his cabin to hang out and build relationships. And
yeah.
Which is actually a very cool deal, which
really
I'm sure
cool.
We'll come back to on a different podcast.
Yeah.
But Sean is he's a large human being. He's extremely athletic. I'm very interested to see his first few games of a senior season playing at 295, see how he moves, if he can move well with that good weight.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely a guy who I project to be, you know, a left tackle, a right tackle, one of the two. Sam Schluter. Is again, I think he's probably in contention to be the second guy, you know, the second best, you know, if not the first,
yeah.
Long term.
Sam is from, you know, Victoria, Minnesota. He plays at Meyer Lutheran. And he chose the Gophers over Wisconsin and Iowa, which, again, if you're looking at recruiting the way I do, and if you have an in-state lineman that you think is good, well, look at his offers. If he's that good, he would have offers from Wisconsin and Iowa. Well, the one thing I'll mention about Sam is probably many Gopher fans are familiar with who Ryan James are.
Right.
Ryan James he's, you know, a huge basketball name, and, you know, I had the pleasure of working with him for quite a few years. And I'll never forget that he called me after he was at a Meyer Lutheran basketball game that Sam was at. You know, he was scouting. Ryan was scouting a couple different guys, and he calls me and says, you know, I just saw Sam Schluter play, and the Gophers need to get a guy like that because the way he moved and just at 6'6", 260, 270 pounds was something to watch. His footwork, he said, was just so advanced for a guy his age and size and ability. And he's like, this kid's going to be playing. And
yeah.
He's like, I'm not talking about just in college. And, you know, that's the expectation that the staff has. Schluter is very athletic. Again, he's 6'6", 200. I believe he told me he's 80 pounds now. He moves very well on his feet. And last season as a junior, he actually played, you know, a lot of tight end just because he's so good of an athlete. And he can get into space, you know, do kind of a Wozniak type thing, go to the goal line, box the guy out, and we'll throw it to you.
Yeah.
I don't think that Schluter's going to play too much tight end as a senior, as obviously he's committed to play, you know, offensive line here. But I think that he can be, you know, I'm probably projecting him more at guard right now, as most of his, you know, his film is him pulling around the left or right side, depleting a linebacker. So I think he probably projects more to guard at this point, as his footwork and his physicality is needed there, but he probably could play tackle in a pinch. And then the guy I give a lot of credit is Connor Olson.
Mm-hmm.
So Connor's from Monticello, Minnesota, and he's going to be an early graduate. So he'll be here for spring ball if you want to get a look at him. But I saw Connor at Minnesota's camp for juniors last year. So he was a sophomore and he was 240 pounds. So he's 6'4", 240 pounds. And for a guy his size and weight, he should not have been dominating the board drill as much as he should be. And for fans here who don't know what the board drill is, it's basically you line an offensive lineman and defensive lineman off right across from each other. And it's basically who can push each other, you know, who can block each other the farthest backwards, you know, by keeping technique, keeping the feet going, and a bunch of other things. And Connor was just destroying kids at 240 pounds who were 30, 40 pounds heavier than him, which just speaks volumes about how strong he is. And, you know, Minnesota was very high on him at the time, but they're like, you know, Connor, we can't, you know, really justify offering a 240-pound lineman. You know, we'd love for you to put on some weight and come back and see us this next spring. And to Connor's credit, to this day, so on July 1st here,
mm-hmm.
he's put on 45 pounds. So he's 285 pounds now.
Jeez.
Can you imagine putting on 45 pounds in 1 year? Because I can't.
No.
And you know, to Connor's credit, and I've seen him in person, and folks, it's not bad weight. And which, again, just speaks volumes about his work ethic. You know, Connor told me that he's now squatting over 600 pounds and his bench is, you know, 315, 330. So for you guys who go to the gym and think you want to try that, that's with a 45-pound bar, that's 345s on each side.
Right.
Not bad for a kid who was 240 pounds, you know, a year ago, and he's only 16, 17 years old. Connor is, you know, he's very athletic, which is what you want out of an offensive lineman in this day and age. I know that at Minnesota's camp last year, he broad-jumped over 9 feet, which I can't overstate how impressive that is, especially for a guy his size. Is I know some corners and safeties that, you know, only could do probably 8'8" per se.
Sure.
So he's very athletic. He's very physical. He's very good technique for a guy coming out of high school. He's one that I'm very curious to keep an eye on for this upcoming spring. And then the last guy is Matt Cagle. He's from Chaska, Minnesota. He was a guy that the staff identified as a top target early on, him and Sam Schluter at that same camp. So you had Connor Olson, Sam Schluter, mm-hmm. and Matt Cagle at that junior elite camp last July. So I'll just plug, Minnesota camp real quick. If you think that you have, any kind of a high school kid that deserves to have a Minnesota offer, you need to get him to camp.
Yeah. During
the summer months, because this staff, over anything else, it doesn't matter, their film does matter, mm-hmm. but if they can get a live evaluation on you, and, I've known numerous recruits to just pop up on the radar because of their camp performance that the staff wasn't really taking a gleaning to. And after seeing them live at camp, they're like, okay, yeah, we really need to recruit this kid. So if you think you have a high school kid that is deserving of Minnesota attention, bring him to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So again, Minnesota's whole in-state class, receive their offers because they perform well at camp, and Cagle's no exception. He's 6'5" and a half, 6'6", 305 pounds. So he's a big kid. He's a kid who's gone around to numerous different camps around the nation. And from what I've heard from the different guys covering those combines, he was blocking guys that and doing very well that were higher ranks than him, that he probably didn't have any business blocking. And he's really made a name for himself that, he's showing up to these camps. He's not afraid to be physical. But with Cagle, I'd like to see him, maybe drop a little bit of that weight. It's some of that is probably just him growing and maturing, which I'm sure he'll do here in the next year. But, I think he can improve. He doesn't bend all that well, but he's very physical. He's got long arms. I probably project him to guard. So,
sure.
Where I project these four guys at this point, I'd say, Sean Foster will be tackle. Schluter, I'm leaning more towards, I want him at guard because of his pulling ability and his footwork.
Mm-hmm.
Connor, it was probably going to be an interior guy, and Cagle probably projects more at tackle than guard at this point. So if you're looking for who you're going to replace, two tackles, two guards, or two interior guys, that's exactly what you want.
Sure. Yeah, all right. So let's just talk real quickly. Let's just go. Give me three names. You've already said Quinn Oslin and then the other offensive lineman,
Tyler Moore,
as freshmen that might impact. So let's get one more name of a impact freshman on the offensive side of the ball that can maybe see some playing time or get some rotation time.
Yeah. So you have three running backs, James Johannesson, Jonathan Femi-Cole, and Shannon Brooks. Again, with the logjam, you already have a running back. I don't think they'll be contributing. I know that I'm going to pick Rashad Still.
Sure.
Rashad Still is a guy that, if Gopher fans remember, he was signed out of El Paso, Texas. Now, what Minnesota has doing any business in West Texas to begin with, and getting a guy from there just is crazy to me. But from what I've heard out of the first few weeks of workouts here, Rashad Still is really impressed.
Mm-hmm.
He's a kid who's 6'5", 200 pounds. His long strides and length and ability and, truth be told, probably some of that is because of how good he is at basketball.
Sure.
It really just gave him the freshman defensive back fits. He has deceptive speed with how long his strides are. He's still really figuring out how to play receiver,
mm-hmm.
as he was really just a basketball player, and he only started playing football his junior season, I believe his coach told me. And his length and ability have really just given the defensive backs fits. His speed is to where, the defensive back seems to have him lined up, and then they start running with him, and he starts, striding away, and they're like, what's going on here? So I think, especially with how open it is behind KJ and Drew,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if Rashad came in and played, just because physically he's already 6'5", 200 pounds, and he's finally getting three meals a day for the first time in his lifetime.
Sure.
He's a kid who, I don't know that many Gopher fans know the backstory on him, but, he's from El Paso, Texas. His mother was in the military. and he was basically taking care of his younger, brothers and sisters by himself at times. So he's finally getting full meals a day. He's finally getting into a weight program. He's finally getting very, very good coaching. I think that it wouldn't be surprising to me at all if he played. The last thing that I'll talk about here, and then we'll wrap things up, is just I do want to talk a little bit about Mitch Leitner. Because, it came to mind, is Demery going to come and play? I know that fans have a lot of expectations of him.
Right.
I don't see Demery Croft playing a snap the next 2 years, barring a Mitch Leitner injury, because I think Mitch is going to play the rest. He's going to start and play the rest of his Gopher career.
Okay.
Again, as we talked about, Mitch, 51% completion percentage, fans will look to.
Yeah.
And it was consistency, as you said. Is it going to be the Mitch Leitner who shows up against Iowa where mm-hmm. he throws 3-4 touchdowns, 70% completion percentage? Or is he going to be the guy against Wisconsin, who completed 30% of his passes in the biggest game and go for, the last decade?
Yeah.
Which guy is that going to be? And I agree. Mitch needs to be a lot more, consistent with his throws, consistent with his play, consistent with, not staying in the pocket too long. But again, this is the first time that, Jerry Kill is going to have an upperclassman starter.
Right.
You can point to Marquise Gray, Kill's first year, but, Marquise got hurt. Marquise, transitioned to receiver, I believe, some that season, so Shortell could get some time. But I just think the fans need to, it's not all on his shoulders, the success, because, the offensive line has to give him enough time. The running backs have to, pick up their blocks and do their assignments in the running game, and the receivers have to get open. But I have no qualms about saying that Mitch Leitner is the most important guy on this team in determining the success of the 2015 Minnesota Gophers.
Yeah.
It is that essential, because if Mitch gets hurt, this team, in my eyes, goes from a 8 to 10 win team to a team that's going to be going, 7 wins, maybe 8.
Yeah.
Again, Mitch is so essential because he he's played so much, and I think he does take probably a leap forward, or I should say a step forward, and not the leap forward that fans want.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to just give him time to keep figuring things out. As, again, he was only a sophomore last year, and I understand he was a redshirt sophomore, so technically he's a junior. But still, it was his first full-time season as the guy, and now he knows he is the guy. He's leading as the guy, and there's a lot to be said for that, knowing that he doesn't have to be looking over his shoulder seeing if Philip Nelson's coming in.
Right.
So just give him time. He didn't look, the 2014 spring heading into his sophomore year,
mm-hmm.
Leitner was on. And I'm telling you, he was completing 75% of his passes. They had velocity. They had the right air. And he looked very good. And I was hyping him up. As you know, I only can report on what I see.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it didn't, translate to the field particularly well.
Right.
Obviously, with 51% completion percentage and, 50-50 touchdowns to interceptions. But I think that if Mitch can, raise that completion percentage to, I'll keep it even reasonable, somewhere between 56 and 58%, and, increase the gap between his touchdowns and his interceptions just a bit, I think that the running game can be, between Rodgers. How many times am I going to say Rodgers this podcast?
Maybe it's more or less that should just be a nickname for the backfield, right?
Rodgers. Yeah. Rodri, for the first 6 games of the season, I have no problem with that, because I'm pretty certain that's what it's going to be, a bunch of Rodri. But if Mitch can just take that little step forward, I really think that Minnesota can really compete with this Big Ten West, and especially with how good this defense is going to be, and something we're going to talk about probably next podcast. But it's something to where I think Mitch can come in and be in the same position in the same game against Wisconsin at the end of the year to essentially, play for the Big Ten West for a shot at the Big Ten Championship,
mm-hmm.
another chance to face Ohio State and Indianapolis. And I think that if Mitch can take that step forward throughout the season, I think you can see Minnesota winning that game.
Sure.
Now, I'm sure a bunch of Gopher fans just rolled their eyes at me, you know, saying, what are you doing predicting the Big Ten West versus Minnesota?
You're too optimistic.
And I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, this defense should be the best at Kill's career and the best in the last, 20, 25 years. I have no problem making the claim and sticking to it that this Gopher secondary
mm-hmm.
is going to be competing for the top spot in the 100-plus year history.
Sure.
You have that much talent. You have Boddy Calhoun, who is first team. You have Eric Murray. You have Demaryius Travis, who's the guy that Gopher fans are really going to get to know, because he is, I'm telling you, he's going to break out
right.
as a senior, and I think he's an NFL guy for sure. And then you have Antonio Johnson. Four guys who have played basically every snap since their Gopher careers have started. They're all going to be seniors now. They all have seen everything, played against everybody.
Right.
So I'm just telling you right now, expectations should probably be a little bit tempered as, Minnesota faces TCU to start the year, and, we'll see how things go. But as the schedule progresses, I think this team can really compete for 8 to 10 wins. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason they shouldn't. The only reason I see that this team falters a little bit this year is if they have a significant injury to either Mitch Leiner or one of the starting cornerbacks. As anytime you lose, bring in Boddy Calhoun or an Eric Murray,
yeah.
even with the depth Minnesota has, it's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
So, Mitch Leiner's the linchpin of the season.
Right. Right. All right. So let's wrap this episode up. So if you're listening and you made it to the end, congratulations. It's a work in progress. So if you have opinions, if you have ideas for us, we're going to try and do this on the regular. We currently, this will not be available on iTunes. It will be available just on SoundCloud to start. And we will work out the technical pieces on what makes the most sense for us. But if you like the podcast, let us know. If you have ideas, let us know, and it'll be fun. So, Ryan, you got anything else?
Yeah, again, I just want to, if you made it to the end here, I'm sure you guys are on your commute to work or your commute home at the gym. So I'm sure we gave you enough time to here to finish that run on the treadmill. But again, we want your feedback. Again, this is one of our first times doing the podcast here together. And so if you want to reach out to, if you want to reach out to me, Twitter would probably be the best way. My Twitter handle is Ryan Burns MN, all one word. Just give us feedback. You like this, you didn't like this, it was too long, it was too short, or ideas you want us to cover. So as we said, we're hoping this becomes a weekly thing and it even picks up more during the year. So we can, break down games with different guests. And we have a couple guys that I think Gopher fans will enjoy if we can, when we do get them on to, break down film, the hardcore guys. Talk recruiting, is this Kill's best recruiting class? So we have a lot of ideas to do with this podcast, but again, we want your feedback. We want your whatever you have to say. So again, reach out on Twitter. That's probably the best way. So at Ryan Burns MN. We'd love your feedback, and we appreciate you listening.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.